couple of weeks ago, we had a young woman from TFN Scotland to speak at the youth service. And as soon as she walked onto the platform, I thought I knew her, but I hadn't a clue why I should. She was from TFN, which is based in Glasgow. So I thought, oh, well, perhaps I've heard her speak at a meeting or a conference or something. So after the service, I asked her, and she said, oh, I've been to Messy Church quite often. I couldn't believe that I hadn't recognized her, because I'd welcomed her and her husband and her daughter to Messy Church loads of times. She just lives down the road. I hadn't even made the connection with her name, which I knew quite well. It's extraordinary how you don't recognize people if they're out of context, if they're somewhere where you don't expect to see them. And several of the resurrection stories are a bit like that. People don't recognize the risen Jesus. Perhaps they weren't expecting to see him alive. Perhaps he looked a bit different. Or perhaps God just didn't want them to recognize him straight away. Think of Mary Magdalene near the tomb in the garden. She knew Jesus really well. And yet when a man came up and asked her why she was crying, she thought he was the gardener. In today's Bible reading, we have two of his followers, who we've already mentioned. They were clearly fairly close to the 12 disciples. And they were walking home on the evening of Easter day when they were joined by somebody they didn't recognize at first. So Alison's going to read the story for us. It's on page 1061 in the Pew Bibles.
Now that same day, two of them were going to a village called Emmaus, about 7 miles from Jerusalem. They were talking with each other about everything that had happened. As they talked and discussed these things with each other, Jesus himself came up and walked along with them, but they were kept from recognizing him. He asked them, "What are you discussing together as you walk along?" They stood still, their faces downcast. One of them, named Cleopas, asked him, "Are you the only visitor to Jerusalem and do not know the things that have happened there in these days?" "What things?" he asked. "About Jesus of Nazareth," they replied. "He was a prophet, powerful in word and deed before God and all the people. The chief priests and our rulers handed him over to be sentenced to death, and they crucified him. But we had hoped that he was the one who was going to redeem Israel. And what is more, it is the third day since all this took place. In addition, some of our women amazed us. They went to the tomb early this morning, but didn't find his body. They came and told us they had seen a vision of angels who said he was alive. Then some of our companions went to the tomb and found it just as the women had said, but him they did not see. He said to them, 'How foolish you are, and how slow of heart to believe all that the prophets have spoken. Did not the Christ have to suffer these things and then enter his glory?' And beginning with Moses and all the prophets, he explained to them what was said in all the scriptures concerning himself. As they approached the village to which they were going, Jesus acted as if he were going further. But they urged him strongly, 'Stay with us, for it is nearly evening. The day is almost over.' So he went in to stay with them. When he was at the table with them, he took bread, gave thanks, broke it, and began to give it to them. Then their eyes were opened, and they recognized him, and he disappeared from their sight. They asked each other, 'Were not our hearts burning within us while he talked with us on the road and opened the scriptures to us?' They got up and returned at once to Jerusalem. There they found the 11 and those with them assembled together and saying, 'It is true, the Lord has risen and has appeared to Simon.' Then the two told what had happened on the way and how Jesus was recognized by them when he broke the bread.
I can feel for those two people trudging along the road to Emmaus that evening. It might have been Cleopas and his wife. It might have been Cleopas and a friend. We don't know. But they were two people who were tired. And more than that, they were emotionally drained. They were probably just going over and over what had happened this last week. They were trying to make sense of it all. Perhaps they had lots of regrets. Should they have spoken up? What else could they have done to keep Jesus safe? They'd had a whole week from Palm Sunday building up to the crucifixion on Friday. And now some people were saying that the tomb was empty. But nobody had actually seen Jesus. They couldn't take it in. And they were going over and over. It was all consuming. And when a stranger joins them, Cleopas can hardly believe that he didn't know what had been going on in Jerusalem. And they're both very eager to tell him the whole story. And their mood is summed up in these words: "We had hoped that he was the one who was going to redeem Israel. We had hoped." Their hopes were shattered. Their dreams were dead. Their new companion seems to think that they should have understood what was going on. And he goes through all the Old Testament references about the Messiah that God was going to send, what would happen to him. It was all there in their scriptures. Now, we're quite used to Old Testament references telling us what's going to happen to Jesus. But if we'd been in the same position as Cleopas and his friend, would we have really linked what had happened to Jesus to everything that we'd heard read? I doubt it. People hear what they want to hear. So they'd remembered that God would send a Messiah who was going to save them. But they hadn't really remembered the bits about his suffering and dying. And it's all so interesting and so exciting that when they get home, the two of them want Jesus to come in and keep talking. They don't want him just to walk on. And it's not till he actually breaks the bread, which is what the host would actually normally do, but he does it and gives thanks, and they recognize Jesus. And everything changed. And what a change! It's a real transformation. Luke says their eyes were opened. They knew it was Jesus, and all of a sudden, things began to make sense. And Jesus disappeared. But these two, who were tired, who hadn't eaten, got up, Luke says, at once and went back to Jerusalem. Another 7 miles walking on the road. It was dark now, possibly dangerous. But suddenly they had their energy back and they were desperate to tell the others. Off they went back to Jerusalem. It's amazing when you think about it, the change it made to them. They just had to share this news with their friends. Because it was wonderful news. Jesus is alive. So, on the return journey to Jerusalem, the conversation must have been a bit different. They must have been puzzled still, but perhaps more puzzled now about how they didn't recognize Jesus in the first place. But overwhelmingly, they were excited and happier than they'd thought they'd ever be again. So let's hear the imagined thoughts of Cleopas, and Gary's going to play the part.
We met him there on the Emmaus Road, and still we didn't understand. Can you believe that? Despite the testimony of the women and the apostles, the empty tomb, the vision of angels, still we couldn't take it in. I suppose we'd made up our minds that it was just all finished. We'd come to terms with the fact that all our hopes had been dashed. And we just couldn't bring ourselves to think any different, for fear of yet more disappointment, yet more broken dreams. Condemn us if you like, but remember this, we'd seen him hanging from the tree. We'd seen him there on the cross, we'd watched in desolation as he drew his final breath, and we'd been there, tears streaming down our eyes as they cut him down and laid him in the tomb. You don't forget that in a hurry, I can tell you. So, when this stranger appeared out of the blue, we thought nothing of it. And why should we? The possibility of him being Jesus was the last thing in our minds. Even when he interpreted the scriptures for us, explaining why the Messiah had to suffer and die, still we didn't suspect anything, even though our hearts burned with some inexplicable joy. But when we sat at the table and he took bread and broke it, then even we couldn't miss it. The extraordinary and incredible truth, it was Jesus, crucified and risen there by our sides. We thought the adventure was over, but it had only just begun. We thought there was nothing left to us but memories, but suddenly the future beckoned, rich with promise. The night had ended, a new day was dawning, life was beginning again, and we marveled at the sheer wonder of his grace. Of course, we didn't meet him on that day. Despite what we thought, he met us.
Can you see yourself in this story? Perhaps you can imagine trudging home in the evening after a long day, which has tired you out. Or perhaps you're emotionally drained by things which are happening in your life. You're at a low ebb. Perhaps you're struggling to make sense of a bad situation at school or at work, in your family or with a friend. How did it get to this point? Or perhaps you just find it difficult to get your mind around the resurrection. Ever since Thomas, some people have struggled to believe, despite all the witnesses. They've thought up other explanations, which, as we saw from that jigsaw, didn't fit. But how could someone come back to life? Perhaps you don't feel Jesus is with you. You don't recognize him. I have a friend who wrote to me the other day that she'd been reading a book in Lent very carefully and had looked up all the Bible references, but she couldn't feel Jesus with her. She couldn't feel the Holy Spirit in her. Could I help? I haven't answered yet. Wherever you are in the story, it speaks of the living Jesus who comes to us, who meets us, and who transforms us. The living Jesus. This is what makes Christianity different and very special. This is why Paul just had to speak to the people of Athens about the risen Jesus, because there were so many stone and metal idols all around. And he knew that none of these could do anything for the people. They were dead, they were lifeless. And Jesus is alive. This story speaks of the risen Jesus who wants to be alongside us. Jesus came up beside these people to be with them in their misery, in all their lost hopes. He listened to their whole sad story about their dreams and how they felt. Jesus wants to be part of our lives, and he's there when we need him. Even if we don't recognize him, he's there beside us, and he walks with us. It speaks of the risen Jesus who can make sense of things. We can go over and over in our minds what's happened to us, whether it's a bereavement or an illness or redundancy or a failure or a broken relationship or whatever. And we can try to understand why this has happened, why we can't see a way forward, why all our plans have been disrupted, and we can't make any sense of it. And on our own, we may never make sense of it. With Jesus, we will understand. Maybe not right now, but one day it will make sense. He will carry us through. And this story speaks of the risen Jesus who doesn't force himself on us. He's so gentle. When they get to Emmaus, it says he acted as if he were going further. They could just have said, bye. It was entirely up to them. But this story speaks of the risen Jesus who transforms. He brings new life and energy, new hope, a new desire to share the good news with others. I like the way that Cleopas said, life was beginning again. That's the transformation Jesus makes to our lives through his death and resurrection. So if your head's down at the moment, if you've been hit hard by life, if you can't really make sense of it, if you're struggling, or if you're full of regrets, or if you're just finding it hard to believe, then how are you going to meet with the living Lord? What can we learn from Cleopas and his friend? I think there's one word that sums up their whole attitude, and that is that they were open. They were Jews who'd been open to the new teaching of Jesus. They'd embraced it and followed him wholeheartedly. They'd been at the cross. They'd heard the news about the empty tomb. They'd stayed close. Are we always open to ways of following Jesus with the whole of our hearts? They were open to a stranger's explanation of their scriptures. They were prepared to listen, to learn. How well do we know our Bibles? Are we open to the Spirit's guidance? Do we give time for God's word to sink in? Are we open to discussing what we read, to listening to other people's point of view? And these two disciples opened their home to this stranger to hear more. Imagine, they could have missed out on all that joy of meeting Jesus if they'd let him walk on, if they'd not invited him in. The Iona community have a little sort of rhyme. It's called a Celtic rune of hospitality. I saw a stranger at yestereen. I put food in the eating place, drink in the drinking place, music in the listening place. And in the sacred name of the Trinity, he blessed myself and my house, my cattle, and my dear ones. And the lark said in her song, often, often, often goes the Christ in the stranger's guise. Often, often, often goes the Christ in the stranger's guise. Jesus is alive. It's up to us to open our hearts and our minds to him. Let's pray. Living Lord Jesus, come to us and walk with us on this journey of life. Open our eyes to your living presence. Open our hearts to your everlasting love. Fill us with the joy and hope your resurrection gives us. And grant us your peace. Amen.